the Invictus Games at all over the last week. If you've not seen it, the Invictus Games are a Paralympic-style event for those from the armed services who are wounded, injured or sick, whether they be still serving or veterans. And the games take their name from a Latin word, Invictus, which means undefeated. And there are all sorts of sports where people compete, and it's quite incredible to see what people have been through and what they're able to do. I think for me what makes the Invictus Games compelling viewing isn't the sport, although I do love watching sport, but it's the individual stories of those taking part. Stories like that of a man called Lamin Manek. Lamin came originally from the Gambia, but he was serving with the Irish Guards in Afghanistan. He was caught up in explosion when he was out protecting civilians from the Taliban, and very sadly he lost an arm and he lost both legs. Unsurprisingly, the doctors told him he may not pull through, and Lamin felt that even if he did survive, that life wouldn't be worth living. But over this past week, Lamin competed in four events, and he won four medals. Amazing, just one of many stories of hope and healing and transformation. All sorts of mixed emotions when you watch events like that. And today's story from Mark's Gospel is another story of hope, and of healing, and of transformation. And the difference is, with this story, it doesn't come from human hard work and perseverance. It comes from a meeting with Jesus. This is one of very few stories in the Gospels where the person who's healed is named. I think I read a book that said it's the only story where the person who's healed is named. And then I thought, what about Lazarus being raised from the dead? But that was me being ahead of myself. But the point is, if you think of healing stories, the chances are you'll know it was a man or a woman or a servant or whatever else, a Gentile, but you won't know their name. So the fact that the name is included suggests that it's significant. We're being pointed to it. Attend to this. And the name Bartimaeus means son, bar, of Timaeus. Now, in Aramaic, that little part, Timaeus, would have been translated, and Aramaic was Jesus' mother tongue, but it would have been translated son of the unclean one. But in Greek, which was the dominant language of the time, it would have been translated son of honour. So the first readers of Mark's Gospel, who would likely be fluent in both languages, because it was their mother tongue, and then the language perhaps they were educated in, they would have come to it understanding there was this double meaning. Who is this man? This Bartimaeus, this son of the unclean one, and this son of honour. And I want to suggest that those two names represent two ways of seeing that man. I rather suspect that Mark has skillfully done that in the way he's written this gospel account. We could see Bartimaeus as the crowd saw him, as the son of the unclean one, or we could see him as Jesus sees him, the son of honour. And the story seems to rest on the idea of the ability to see rightly. So if we start by looking through the eyes of the crowd and seeing the man as they saw him. At that time in that culture, a physical disability like blindness or any other disability was believed to have been caused by sin. If Bartimaeus was called son of the unclean one, then the suggestion is that his blindness was caused by his parents. It was punishment for mistakes that they made. I would suggest that being son of the unclean one might suggest something possibly about mother's lifestyle, and knowing the culture of that time, of course, that's always where the blame is placed. Perhaps some people looked at Bartimaeus with compassion, but others would have looked at him with disdain, because his family were responsible for his predicament. Mark tells us that as Jesus and the crowd were leaving Jericho, they passed Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the roadside begging. It's immediately obvious that this is a man who is poor, but Mark seems to be telling us something else as well, because he wants us to recognise that this man is on the edge of the city and he is on the side of the road. So this is someone who's been sidelined in his culture. He's been pushed out or left out. And perhaps that explains why the crowd try to silence him when he calls out to Jesus. They don't want his voice to be heard. This man who is a product of sin, the feeling is he doesn't deserve to be seen by Jesus. I think there are lots of people who feel like the son of the unclean one. And actually, there are lots of people who've been made to feel like the son of the unclean one. People who are victims, perhaps of someone else's sin, people who have been sidelined or silenced.
or blamed for their own predicament. I was really caught by this idea of the crowd trying to silence Bartimaeus. It really stood out when I read it, and it made me think of something that's going on in America at the moment. The row around American footballers. You perhaps know that some American footballers have been kneeling during the national anthem as a protest against police brutality. President Trump and others have accused them of disrespecting the flag, whatever on earth that means. But it seems to me that they are doing what Bartimaeus was doing, crying out for somebody to see, crying out for somebody to listen and recognise the injustice. But the Trumps of this world want to silence them. Who are the voices in our culture? Who are the voices in Lewisham who get silenced? If the crowd see Bartimaeus as the unclean one, the son of the unclean one, then how does Jesus see him? Well, when Jesus hears Bartimaeus calling him, he then calls out to him. He says, call him, bring him to him. And I love that image of the two men both calling to one another across this crowd. There's Bartimaeus summoning up the courage to call out again and again for Jesus. And there is Jesus recognising the call and saying, call him. So Jesus treats Bartimaeus as a son of honour, one who is worthy enough out of that whole crowd to receive his undivided attention. And when he reaches Jesus, Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? And I wonder how you would answer that question. And surely in this story, the answer is obvious, because Bartimaeus is blind. It's patently obvious. Why would Jesus ask that? And I just wonder if Jesus is not treating Bartimaeus as a problem to be fixed, but he is treating him as a person. He wants to listen to this man that everyone else wants to silence. He opens up the possibility that the problem may not be blindness, it could be anything else. He wants to hear. At the end of the encounter, Mark tells us that Bartimaeus immediately received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This man who's been sitting at the side of the road is now on the road with Jesus, sight restored, and perhaps more importantly, his personhood is restored. I started off by talking about athletes in the Invictus Games, and I wonder how you see those women and men. I know my mother-in-law sometimes finds it very difficult to watch because she finds it so upsetting. Do you see people as a tragic victim of someone else's offence? Or do you see them as undefeated? And I wonder how those women and men see themselves. In this story, Bartimaeus had a choice to make. He had to choose how he would see himself. Would he see himself as the son of the unclean one, or would he see himself as a son of honour? And when Jesus calls to Bartimaeus, Mark tells us that Bartimaeus threw his cloak aside. And the chances are that Bartimaeus was using his cloak as his begging bowl. He had taken it off and spread it out in front of him, and where people left money for him, that's where they had left it, in his cloak. So when Bartimaeus responds to Jesus by throwing aside the cloak, he is throwing off his identity as the victim of sin. And he steps forward into that new identity as the victim, or as the son of honour. Many people feel the way that Bartimaeus felt. Many people have suffered because of someone else's sin. And if that's you, God calls to you in the person of Jesus, calls to you across the road to say you are worthy of his attention. He calls to you to be a daughter of honour or a son of honour. Will you throw off your cloak? Will you throw off that old identity, those things that hold you back, and will you trust that he will do for you what he did for Bartimaeus? We have to choose how we see ourselves, just as Bartimaeus had to choose how he saw himself. We also have to choose how we see Jesus. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing, he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That choice of words shows us that he believed that Jesus was God's chosen saviour. And isn't it interesting that even though Bartimaeus is blind, that he is the one with insight. He sees who Jesus is. He gets it. Again, it's great. brilliant. It's such a brimming, glittery construction. And Mark wants us to get it. Do you see? The blind man can see, but the disciples who have sight, they can't see. It's so clever. What a brilliant idea. So I think some questions remain for us. How do you see? How do you see Jesus? How do you see yourself? How do you see the people who are on the sidelines, the side of the road there? And this morning as well, Jesus